Welcome to a special AvWeb Audio BizCast, brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney, reporting for AvWeb Biz. Last week's Dubai Air Show may have been a turning point in commercial aviation history. Oil-rich Middle Eastern countries have apparently decided they want to put the area's historic role as crossroads of the world and give it modern context. Airlines there accounted for most of the $100 billion in aircraft orders tallied up at the show. AvWeb's Russ Niles spoke with industry analyst Richard Abalafia about why other airlines should be nervous.
And Dubai has just been a feeding frenzy. What's going on there, Richard?
Well, it's pretty extraordinary. You're talking, of course, one of the world's fastest-growing markets, if not the most fast-growing market. Biggest single A380 customer, close to the biggest single 777 customer, Emirates. Now the biggest single A350 customers are both there, Qatar and of course, Emirates. Basically, Emirates has an exciting business model that revolves around using geography and a very strong financial position to suck all the traffic of the world to them. And not surprisingly, everybody else in the region, Qatar and Etihad and others, want to be just like Emirates.
So $100 billion worth of aircraft sales, most of it to Middle Eastern airlines. What does that mean for airlines like, Lufthansa or Qantas or even Air Canada?
I can't imagine anything good. I mean, ultimately, origin and destination traffic there isn't growing anything like at the rates that these fleet expansion plans would require. These guys are using sixth freedom rights and, of course, an excellent geographic position to basically go after the traffic now handled by the legacy flag carriers. It's going to be very difficult for them to compete against this sort of player. And so far, it's been manageable. But if you start talking about a massive capacity expansion with 55 A380s, 70 A350s, and, another 80 A350s at Qatar, plus more on the way, I mean, that's going to really take the wind out of the sails of the traditional international carriers.
So where does Emirates and these other airlines fit in if I want to get from London to Sydney?
Well, they're basically offering you a very nice class of service, a reasonable price for that class of service, and the mere requirement that you have to stop in Dubai, and they're doing their best to make Dubai an attractive place to stop, whether it's duty-free shopping or theme parks or what have you, an indoor ski course in the desert in the world, I believe. This is a concerted, broader aviation industrial policy, if you will, an effort to convert high oil revenues into something tangible. And even though it's not going to be profitable for a very long time, if ever, at least they're doing something useful and long-lasting with their oil money. They're not just spending it in casinos. They're actually doing something that's creating a part of the economy. And that's good for them, but ultimately bad for the legacy players in the aviation business.
Well, they've also gone in on the maintenance side. The world's largest jet aircraft maintenance facility was announced at Dubai as well. And how's that going to play into everything?
Well, there's no question they've got big plans for maintenance expansion, certainly for training. A lot of the aircraft that used to leave the Middle East and go to traditional market countries for service, of course, are now going to stay there, and they'll be sucking additional maintenance and other business to their home turf. But interestingly, they're also buying up MRO properties in the U.S. too. So I guess you have to see this as part of a broader policy to basically take a big chunk of that market and make it theirs. And, again, it's going to be a very long time, if ever, before that's profitable. But in the meantime, they're sure going to suck up market share.
Okay, well, how much market share is out there? There's big expansion in India. China is coming on. Everywhere we look, we hear about expansion of air travel. How much expansion is possible?
Well, what's kind of intriguing, if you look at the global market forecast and the commercial market outlook, the two forecasts, the 20-year outlooks that are put out by Airbus and Boeing, available on their website, they both have a not inconsiderable amount of demand accrued by Middle Eastern carriers, 5-6%, I think. something along those lines by value. If you look at what's coming down the pike, most of that is now accounted for in the backlog and the new orders. And that, to me, says basically one of three things. One, it's a bubble, but this place is so well endowed with cash that it probably isn't a bubble. That leaves two other possibilities, various degrees. One is, again, they're out to take other people's traffic, especially premium traffic. And despite the fantastic growth in international traffic, it still means these guys are going to have to outperform everybody and in order to fill the kind of capacity they have coming down the pike. Also, they might just become, well, possibly the preeminent leaser in the world in 15 or 20 years. The aircraft that they can't use in their own carrier certainly could be put into that role. And, of course, they're ordering planes for dedicated leasers. DAE just last week became, when it takes delivery of the planes, of course, it became the third biggest leaser in the world, just like that. So, again, an awful lot of capacity and just so much traffic to go around, even with the impressive global traffic rates we've seen in the past.
I'm not sure how much it matters in the grand scheme of things, but Dreamliner versus A350. A350 was portrayed as stealing a big order from Emirates off Boeing.
I think there's some truth to that, and I think it says a lot about the market. The 787 is, of course, a 250-280-seat long-range aircraft that allows bottom-line focused airlines to concentrate on right-sizing and profitability and point-to-point routes. And most of these guys have very different plans. I think it's all about hub and spoke. It's all about market share above profit, and I don't think you're going to see any talk of profit for a very long time, and I frankly don't think they care. So, in other words, bigger is better. They start at 300 seats and go all the way up to 550, and that was what made this kind of an interesting battleground. The A350-800 is pretty useless against the 787, but the A350-900 seems to have bested the 787-10, and there are a lot of doubts about the 787-10 in terms of timing, in terms of capabilities, in terms of the technical requirements needed to make it happen. Tim Clark of Emirates saying that the engines possibly weren't quite up to the task. So there was definitely a strong Airbus endorsement for, very strong endorsement of the Airbus product by Emirates and Qatar to take that 300 to 350 seat market away in a few years from Boeing, which of course right now has a very strong position there with the 777.
Aviation industry analyst Richard Abelafia. Hey, get more general aviation news at halfweb.com and comments on this audiocast welcome at audionews@halfweb.com. And the special midweek Halfweb Bizcast was brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. They're online too, www.aviationconsumer.com. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for Halfweb Biz. Thanks for listening.